Heavenly Father, we give you this day already. We pray that we would honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to make much of Jesus this day in this place. And I pray that you bless this Sunday school hour. Help the Holy Spirit of God have his free reign among our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back in the book of 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter, again, we're just trailblazing through this chapter, aren't we? We're here at the end of the quarter and we've come to the 8th verse of chapter 1. But that's all right. The Lord's been teaching us as we go through this chapter, word by word, phrase by phrase. And it's a blessing to be able to study it and to present it in this fashion. So we, again, are in verse number 8 today of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Let's read it again. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're looking at this lively hope that God has given us. We see down in verse number 3 of chapter 1. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This lively hope, this living expectation of Jesus Christ's return, but also this living expectation of us living with Him forever in heaven. What a glorious hope that is. And it's not a hope-so, it's a no-so. And last week we looked at verse 8 in the first part, looking at, with eyes of faith, looking at this verse. And today let's conclude this verse. As we look at the writings of Peter, and as we begin looking at this chapter and looking at the writings of Peter through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter writes down to earth. He writes to the everyday man, to the common man, to our level. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can use different men to pen different books of the Bible, and He uses their personality, He uses their knowledge, He uses their vocabulary. But here we have Peter, and Peter's writings are much different than Paul's writings. And Peter is writing down to earth, just to the common man. It's just easy to read. Where Paul, you have to really study and to dig and to understand. They have a way of presenting the truth to the average Christian that we can grasp it. And I appreciate how the Holy Spirit helps us in these endeavors. In this portion of the Scripture in 1 Peter, the amazing, indestructible Christian is described. And he believes, it's this Christian, this indestructible Christian, as we've seen, he believes even though he cannot see physically Christ, he cannot physically see heaven, he still believes. In verse 8, this description uses two expressions which are very much alike except in their tense. Look again at verse 8. It says, Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Because whom having not seen and now ye see him not. They're saying basically the same thing, but it's a different tense. The having not seen has to do with the possibility of seeing Christ in the past. Well, these Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1 did not see Christ. The majority of them, if not all of them, did not see Christ when He walked on this earth. Just as we today have not seen Christ with our physical eye. It was with eyes of faith that we see and we love. And then also you see, now ye see Him not. That has to do with the possibility of seeing Him right now. Now, if Christ came back today, we would see Him right now. But right now, in the present state that we're in, we do not see Christ physically with our eyes, same as these Christians here in 1 Peter. So that's these two verses, these two phrases that are talking about. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior after the ascension of Christ back into heaven, that would include us, are believers in that which we cannot and have not seen, eyes of faith. I don't know about you, but I have not seen Christ physically. I have not seen heaven. I haven't been given a glimpse of heaven except through the Word of God. So it takes eyes of faith, just as these Christians needed these eyes of faith to see Christ, to believe in Christ, to love Christ. New Testament believing believers, we believe a report recorded to us in the Word of God of things that we have not seen. Which is the difference between a New Testament faith and all the other so-called believing in things unseen. Let me explain that. Now, if you would say that I believe in the invisible things, you go and talk to individuals on the street, in the store, in your family, unknown people, you go and talk to them and say, do you believe in the invisible? Undoubtedly, you will run into people and say, oh yes, I believe in the invisible. I believe in ghosts. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in paranormal. I believe in all kinds of superstitious type things. They believe in invisible things. But then when you try to tell them about Christ and say, well, do you believe in Christ? Oh no. I don't believe you can believe in God that you can't see. Well, you believe in all these other things you can't see. Why not can't you believe in a God who has given us all of creation to witness about Him? We have been given our conscience to see that we have a greater being above us. We as human beings, and the way we are made and the way we think, we want to see and believe. We want to be able to touch it and then we'll believe. Remember Thomas? If I put my hands in the wounds of Christ, I will believe. But if we could just see what's around us, if we could just peer into the invisible spiritual realm today, if God would just peel that back for us, just for a glimpse, our lives would be totally changed. We would see the angels about us. We would see the warfare between the spiritual beings. We would see how God is protecting us even when we got in our cars today and drove here today. God is protecting His children. But we, as human beings, want to believe what we can see. The invisible things are there, but they are simply not seen without faith. We must have eyes of faith. Look over in the book of Hebrews, just one verse this morning, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Of course, we have here the Hall of Fame of Faith. We have the definition of faith in verse 1. We can see how these great Old Testament saints live for God through faith. But notice in verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham, by faith, was able to carry on and to go because he could see that which was not seen. He looked into the invisible and he believed, even though he couldn't see it. He had those eyes of faith. And so even though he could not see where he was going, who was directing him there, he believed. Remember what it says back in 1 Peter? Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Those are the same characteristics as Abraham. We believe in the invisible because we believe in by faith. Christians mentioned in 1 Peter experience the invisible so vividly. Just think of their situation. Roman Empire is devout and destroying Christians at this time. Nero is in charge. The three-fourths of Rome has been burned. He's blamed the Christians as the scapegoat to try to appease the population, looking for someone to blame. And they must blame the Christians, and the whole Roman Empire is out to destroy Christians, not only Nero, but his soldiers and his governors and his provinces and loyal Romans all over the empire are bent on destroying Christians. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, we see those Christians that are scattered throughout Asia Minor, today Turkey, are facing this persecution, are facing this suffering, are facing this pain, facing fear of death at the hands of the Romans. And Peter here is saying, remember in whom ye love. Remember in whom ye believe. Even though you haven't seen Him, believe. And these Christians believed it so vividly and so satisfyingly that they were able to say in the verse, in verse 8 at the latter part, it says, ye, all of you, grouping together, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How were they able to rejoice with joy unspeakable? How could Peter even attempt to tell them to rejoice with joy unspeakable in these dire circumstances that they were facing? It's still in verse 8. And it says, yet believing. Yet believing. Even though you have not seen in whom you love, even though you have not seen Him and you probably will not see Him in this lifetime, yet believing. By believing in what they could not see, that is the only way that you and I will ever have this joy unspeakable. The characteristic of a Christian that this epistle is trying to emphasize and establish is that Christian believers or Christians believe in things that cannot be seen. We, they, Peter, believe in the invisible. Well, Peter was able to see with his naked eye. He could see Christ. But all those that came after the ascension of Christ had to have eyes of faith. It is entirely possible to be a believer in the invisible, in those spooky worlds and those goblins and those ghosts and those supernatural things. It's possible to be a believer in that and not be a Christian. That would be believing in the invisible, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Many people today in our worlds believe in things that have to be appeased with a rabbit's foot, or strange sayings, or chains about their necks, or medallions, or cards, or chants, or all sorts of things. They believe in this invisible and it has to be appeased with these things of the world. This is a belief in the invisible, but it's not something that makes you a Christian. It is pagan. It is misguided belief. It is satanic. You know, it is not possible to be a Christian and not believe in the invisible. Let me say that again. It's not possible today to be a Christian if you don't believe in the invisible. If you don't believe in the things you cannot see, then you don't have faith. You have to have faith today. Not only does a Christian believe in the invisible world, but he also counts on it. I count on Jesus Christ coming again. I count on Jesus Christ resurrecting my body from the grave. I count on Jesus Christ taking me to heaven one day and giving me a glorified body. I count on that. We plan, we act, we live as one who counts on the reality of the invisible. The Christian philosophy of life is not, as the world says, pie in the sky by and by. You know what that phrase means? I said it a lot during my life, but I really never looked it up to see what pie in the sky by and by really meant. It means an empty wish or a promise. Our Christian philosophy in life is not an empty promise. It is not an empty wish. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. We have been given this lively hope, an active, living, blessed, joyful, confident expectation of the eternal life with God forever. A verse that we quote often is Titus 1:2, but look at Titus 1:3. In Titus 1:2, we know probably by heart, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Our God cannot lie. If He could, He would not be God. He would be unrighteous. He would be a liar. He would be a sinner. So He cannot lie. He cannot break a promise. But notice verse 3. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Through preaching of His word, through the teaching of His word, it is manifested in us. It is made real in our lives. Even though we can't see it, we can't see the invisible, we believe it. through eyes of faith. The men and women of the Old and New Testament did not believe in an empty wish or a promise. They believed in the reality and the reliability of the invisible world. You need a refresher, go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. And notice how every verse starts by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The Old Testament saints live by faith. Need more proof? Think of the lives of the disciples of Christ after His ascension. Notice how their lives changed in the book of Acts. Totally, completely devoted to get the message out, no matter the persecution, no matter the suffering. If I didn't believe in what I was preaching as a disciple of Christ, I would not be willing to suffer a martyr's death. They believed. Still need more proof that we don't believe in an empty wish or an empty promise? Think of the modern day martyrs. Go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They were burned at the stake for their faith. They were drawn and quartered. They were hung upside down. They were tortured. They were persecuted. Their heads were cut off. They were sawn asunder. All because they believed in things that could not be seen. Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging the scattered strangers and us today to remember this lively hope, this not an empty wish, not an empty promise, but a complete devoted promise of God, to remember that we have been given into trust in God, who cannot lie, and whom they love yet have not seen. No matter the circumstances, no matter the conditions of life, they could and we should rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But how can we do that? Think of the circumstances of life that you face. Think of the conditions of life that you face each and every day. Think of the most horrible day that you've had at work or at home or in the hospital. How can we face those conditions and circumstances with joy unspeakable and full of glory? In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're given four directions for being able to rejoice with this joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of suffering and pain, we're given these four ways that we, as Christians, that believe in the unseen, can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The first is to love Christ. Verse 8 again, "In whom having not seen, ye love." Love Christ. Our love for Christ is not based on physical sight because we have not seen Him. It is based on a spiritual relationship with Him and what we have learned and applied to our lives from the study and the listening to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has been poured out God's love into our hearts. Hold your place in 1 Peter and go to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, this Holy Spirit of God's love has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 5:5, "After you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." How? "By the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." We have been given the Holy Ghost, and we have been given God's love, and so we should be able to love Christ through these conditions and these circumstances of life. When you find yourself in some trial of life, when you see yourself coming downcast, immediately lift your heart to Christ in true love and worship. But how do I do that? It's easy to say, but how do I do that? Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. How do I love Christ in these difficult circumstances of life? Sing a hymn. Quote Bible passages. Think on the goodness of God in your life. Adore and magnify the name of Jesus. Well, I tell you, you start magnifying the name of Jesus, that frown will turn upside down. You start thinking how blessed you are, even in this difficult circumstance, we can still praise God for things that are good in our lives. as we continue through this struggle, find a hymn that you love and start singing it. Make up your own hymn to God. Sing God praises through this difficult circumstance, and that shows your love for Christ. Also, secondly, we should trust Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing. Trust Christ. Romans 8:28, still in the Bible. All things work together for God that love Him and called according to His purpose. All things. That means the difficult things too. All things. We must live by faith. The Bible teaches us the just shall live by faith. Not sight, but by faith. Faith means surrendering all to God. Obeying His Word in spite of circumstances. Obeying His Word in spite of consequences of the world. You know, love and faith go together like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. When you love someone, you trust Him. Do you love Jesus today? Are you going through a hard time? Trust Him. He brought it into your life for a purpose. Love Him. Trust Him. How can we grow in faith during times of testing and suffering? The same way we grow in faith when things seem to be going well. Through the Word of God. Through trusting in God. Through loving God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want more faith? Get in the Word. Study the Word. Thirdly, when we go through these difficult circumstances in life, how can we have joy unspeakable and full of glory? How can we rejoice when we're going through these difficult times? We love Christ, trust Christ, rejoice in Christ. Again, in verse 8, whom in not seeing ye love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice. Rejoice in Christ. You know, we may not be able to rejoice over the present circumstances we're going over. You know, if unfortunately some of us, one of us or myself, we were in a car wreck and we were put in a hospital and we were there for months on end trying to recover, maybe trying to learn how to walk again or talk again or be able to feed ourselves. How can we rejoice over that circumstance? We can't. We can't rejoice that that happened to us. We can't rejoice if we had financial ruin. We can't rejoice if some hardship happened in our lives. We can't rejoice over that circumstance. But what we can rejoice in is in Christ. We can rejoice in Christ. We can rejoice in those things by centering our hearts and mind on Jesus Himself. Each experience or trial that helps us learn something new and wonderful about our Savior. If it didn't, we wouldn't go through them. If it wasn't for our good, we wouldn't go through these trials. Think of Abraham up on Mount Moriah. He's having to offer his own son to God, Isaac. And God stops him. But he was willing. By faith, he was willing. And if you go back to study, he says, My son and I will go up to make a sacrifice and we will come back down again. He had faith. Abraham on that mountaintop learned more about God. Think about the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel when they refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar and they're thrown into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar peers into the fiery furnace and says, how many do we throw in? Three, what do I see? Four. And one looks like the Son of God. The three Hebrew children discovered the nearness of God through their trial. They couldn't rejoice that they just got thrown in a fiery furnace. Whoa, look at us, we got thrown in a fiery furnace. They're not rejoicing they got thrown in a fiery furnace, but they're rejoicing in God because they knew God was faithful and they had not succumbed to the temptation of the world. How did Paul continue to live with this thorn in the flesh because he realized and he learned in the sufficiency of God's grace? These men were not superhuman Christians. They were not superhuman saints. They were individuals just like you and I. So we too can have the faith of Abraham. We too can have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We too can have the faith of Paul. When those difficult circumstances of life come in, love God, trust God, rejoice in God, and lastly, receive from God, receive from Christ what you need to get you through that circumstance. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, will you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We can receive from Christ what we need to get us through that condition or circumstance or trial in our life. If we love Him, we'll trust Him, and then we should rejoice in Him. Then we can receive Him from Him all that we need to turn those trials into triumphs. Charles Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers over in England, in the 1800s used to say, "Little faith will take your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul." It is not enough that we long for heaven during times of suffering. Going through this difficult patch, I just long for heaven. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. Over in the battles of Europe in the early days with men, and they were in these foxholes, and they said, "Just take us to heaven, God." What Peter was urging his readers through the Holy Spirit was to do more. It was to exercise your love and your faith and your rejoicing so that we might experience some of the glory of heaven in the midst of our suffering. So the next time, or even today, as you go through this suffering, this pain, this circumstances of life that have impacted you, as you go through the next trial that comes into your life, remember, love God through it. Trust God through it. Rejoice in God through it. And receive from God the strength you need to go through it. What a delight it is to open your Bible and to meet Christ anywhere. Any part of the Bible you can meet Christ. In the Old Testament, through the types and shadows and figures, through the Psalms we see Christ, through the writings of the prophets we see His coming. In times of trial, you need to turn in your Bible. Open your Bible both to the Old and the New Testament and find all that you need for encouragement. How did David encourage himself in those difficult days of running from Saul? He encouraged himself in the Lord. How can we encourage ourselves today in those difficult circumstances? Encourage ourselves in the Lord. As we obey Him and experience trials, and we will experience trials. Maybe you've just overcome a trial. Praise the Lord. Well, guess what? Another one's coming. And another one's coming. And another one's coming. Until we return to heaven. As we obey Him, we will experience trials. We are being prepared for glory. When we love Him and trust Him, and rejoice in Him, we experience a little bit of glory here. And then we, like the scattered strangers of 1 Peter, can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. No matter what you're going through today or this week, we can still rejoice because we're saved, because we have a home in heaven. We've seen it's reserved in heaven for us individually. We have a surety of our salvation. We have the blessed Holy Spirit that it resides within inside of us. We have the Word of God that we can run to and read and weep over. We can go to God in prayer at any time, any place. We're so blessed. So when we go through that next trial, let us remember to love Christ. Even though we haven't seen Him physically, we can be like the scattered strangers of 1 Peter 1:8, and we can love Him even though whom we have not seen. And we can believe, though now you see Him not. Right now we don't see Christ physically, But we can still believe by faith. And we can rejoice. We can rejoice not in that pain and suffering, but we can rejoice in Christ. And then we can receive from Him what we need to help us through that situation. Let us go forward in this 2019 with joy unspeakable and full of glory, no matter what comes our way. For that's what the Bible teaches us. These early Christians, we're facing it every day. Why can't we? We have the same faith. We have the same God. Let us trust Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for this lesson. Thank You for this study of 1 Peter. And I pray, dear Lord, it's been profitable. It's been profitable to me as I study it. And I pray it's been profitable to our listeners. And I pray that You would not let it return void, which we know Your Word will never return void. Place this truth in our hearts so that when we face these next trials that come in our lives, help us to trust You and to love You and to rejoice in You and to receive of You that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Bless the next service. Bless our pastor. Bless the toddler church and the junior church and the teen church. Help someone to come know You as their Savior today. Encourage those that are downcast. Uplift those that are hurting. Heal those, Lord, according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.